Those bones ain't dry. Thank you. River City Reads. As a child, I was introduced to the story, The Wizard of Oz, through the medium of very early color TV. And I can remember being at a church potluck social at a neighbor's farm and watching The Wizard of Oz on their color TV. And I was young enough that the image of that wicked green-faced witch streaking across the sky, leaving that trail of smoke and cackling, gave me nightmares. And the story of Dorothy's return home is a story that connects to us today because it is a retelling of the hero's journey, a journey that we are all on. But we can draw some very profound truths out of that story of The Wizard of Oz. Written by L. Frank Baum, it was published in May of 1900. One of the profound truths that speaks to me out of that story is a truth that we're going to look at today that is a reflection, if you will, of one of Unity's foundational teachings. We call it the law of mind action. And our traditional way of saying it is that thoughts and feelings held in mind produce after their kind. Thoughts and feelings held in mind produce after their kind. So in other words, we create our lives from the beliefs that we hold in heart and mind. There is a following thought that builds on that idea. And that thought is that if we want a different experience in life, we have to create from a different set of beliefs. So let me say that all. We create our lives from the beliefs and the thoughts, feelings that we hold in mind. And if we want a different experience in life, we have to create from a different set of beliefs. Now, I find this truth very clearly brought out in the story of The Wizard of Oz, and nowhere more clearly than in that scene where Dorothy and the Scarecrow and the Tin Man first meet the lion. Now you remember that scene. Dorothy and Toto, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, are following this yellow brick road, and they come to this dark, impenetrable forest. And they're standing there looking at the forest. And Dorothy says, "Do you suppose we'll meet any wild animals?" And the Tin Man jumps right in and he goes, "Oh, we might." And Dorothy goes, "Oh," and the Scarecrow says, "Animals that eat straw?" And the Tin Man goes, "Well, some, but mostly lions and tigers and bears." And Dorothy goes, "Lions?" And the Scarecrow goes, "Tigers?" And the Tin Man goes, "And bears." And so they link arms and they start through that dark forest going, "Lions and tigers and bears, oh my, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, lions and tigers and bears." And right then, as they are expressing their deepest fear, out from the underbrush jumps this lion right in their path, says, "Put up your dukes." In fact, I love that scene where he says, "Put them up. Which one of y'all wants to go first?" He says, "I'll fight you both together. I will fight you with one paw tied behind my back. I will fight you standing on one leg. I will fight you with my eyes closed." And then he turns to that Tin Man and he goes, "Pulling an axe on me, huh?" And so right at that point, that lion has been manifested from the fears of Dorothy and the Scarecrow and the Tin Man. He was the manifestation of all that they expected to find in that wood. Now, this story is a simple delight to Unity Metaphysician. So I want to unpack a little bit of the symbolism in this forest scene that we have just brought to mind. You see, there's an inner metaphysical meaning that is, for me, enlightening. Unity Metaphysics teaches that everything is a symbol of our own inner state, our own inner conscious. So in this scene, in this story, Dorothy represents our soul. The Scarecrow is the thinking aspect of us. The Tin Man is the emotional or the feeling aspect of us. And the little dog Toto represents the physical body, the five senses. Altogether, those four characters represent an entire human being: the soul, the mental, the emotional, and the physical aspect. Now, it's very interesting for me that at this point in the story, all of these characters are undeveloped or underdeveloped. They are largely still potential. And what are we to make of the lion? You see, the lion, as it begins in this scene, bursts forth, representing all those deep fears that we hold that show up in our life. You know, when a fear that is one of those reoccurring challenges in our life shows up, it does so as a reoccurrence of a very deeply held belief, one that we're not even conscious of, one that we may not even have ever examined, but one that we hold because we absorbed it from our culture, or it was spoon-fed to us in our family of origin, but it is there in our unconscious. I find it very insightful that it was the Tin Man who first brought the idea forth. The Tin Man, our emotional self, first brought the fear to the light of possibility and offered it to the thinking aspect, the Scarecrow, and to the soul. And of course, once the emotion brings that fear up, the thinking part of us automatically clothes it and gives it form and gives it shape and gives it idea, and the soul gives it room to be itself. So I asked myself, you know, this is an interesting story, but how does it apply to me? What in me is bringing forth from my unexamined beliefs a challenge in my life? What in me is doing this very same thing that Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow did? You see, I'm doing it. We all do it constantly in our life. We unconsciously create from our fears, from our unexamined beliefs. Now, some of the unexamined beliefs might be those things we take from society, like we believe that life should be difficult, or in this American culture, that life should be hard work. I mean, that's almost a given. Or maybe from our family of origin, it might be that I will never, and you fill in the blank for yourself, or I cannot. So all the nevers and the cannots that we tell ourselves. And then, of course, we find those challenges showing up in our life. My personal spiritual work, A Course in Miracles, talks about this very process, and I want to read you a short section. The Course says, "Perception is constant. What we see and perceive in the world is constant. We always do it. What you see reflects your thinking, and your thinking but reflects your choice of what you want to see. Your values are determiners for this, for what you value, you want to see, believing what you see is really there. So let me say that first part again. Perception is constant. What you see reflects your thinking, and your thinking but reflects your choice of what you want to see. So in other words, my own words, I see it telling me that this process is a closed loop, that what we see in the world comes from what we think, and what we think comes from what we believe and value. So when the Course is talking about seeing, it's not literally talking about what we see with our physical eyes, but it talks about the process of giving meaning and value to our experience. You may have been in a situation where you and somebody else go through an experience and you give it a certain meaning. This is what it means. And they have a completely different opinion. They had a completely different experience after going through the same thing. One of you hated it, one of you loved it. It was the same experience, but it was the value that we give it that established what it means in our life and then how we will react. You see, we create our lives from the beliefs that we hold in mind and heart. And if we want a different experience in life, we have to create from different beliefs. So how do we change our experience? Well, you remember what Dorothy did when the lion went after Toto. See, remember, the lions are getting ready to fight, and Toto runs up and is barking and nips at him. And so the lion goes, well, I'll get you, Pee-wee. And he lunges for that dog, and the dog turns and runs around and jumps up, and Dorothy grabs him up and is holding him in his arms, and that lion comes lunging for the dog, and Dorothy rears back and just smacks him right across the face. And in that instant, that lion turns from this raging beast into this sobbing little creature, and he's going, why did you hit me? And he's grabbing his tail up under his eyes, and he says, is my nose bleeding? And Dorothy goes, well, you're a big crybaby. I'm just a coward. Yeah. So, what a great resolution in that story to that condition of fear that had been created. And it's a very important moment metaphysically. You see, metaphysically, in that moment, the soul stands up, facing that fear, and says, stop. You have no power in my life. Stop. Now, the soul doesn't literally hit our challenge, our fear, but it does put limits. It does draw a barrier. You know, Unity teaches this moment of the story as a process of denial and an affirmation in order to create something new in our life. And I put this thought into four simple steps: to deny, to affirm, to nurture, and to allow. To deny, to affirm, to nurture, and to allow. So to deny. That is to do what Dorothy did to the lion. Not hit it, but to deny its power. We deny the power of whatever the condition is, whatever the challenge is in our life. We deny the power that it has to control us or to affect the reality of our spiritual self. Our spiritual self. We deny the power of the condition to give meaning to our life. That condition, that challenge, does not give meaning to my experience. That is my choice. We simply say, it may be a physical condition, but it has no power to control my experience. And then we replace that denial with an affirmation. And That is simply stating a higher spiritual truth. The famous one in Unity is Myrtle Fillmore, a co-founder of Unity, that statement that started this whole movement, "I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit illness." A spiritual statement of a higher truth that went beyond the physical element of the illness to that spiritual truth of who I am as spirit. We claim the highest truth that we can believe for ourselves. And then nurturing. That nurturing process is simply allowing the possibilities to grow in our consciousness. That we visualize the end result of what we want in our human life, our human experience, and we see in mind and heart ourselves fully experiencing that greater possibility. And then we allow. This is the easiest step of all because we don't do anything. We just say yes. We accept. Allowing is allowing that divine flow of divine energy that moves in and through all our experience to bring reality to our new perception. And it becomes true then for us. And that is then what we see in the world. We say yes to that new belief. And the new experience as it manifests in our life. Every one of us has lions and tigers and bears in our lives. A personal example. About 13 years ago, I was involved in a bicycle accident in which I broke both collarbones. And when it happened, I felt dazed. I felt helpless. I mean, it's hard to feel in control when you are lying in the middle of the intersection at 23rd and Haskell, and people are standing over you going, "Are you all right?" And you know, as you're lying there, that, yeah, on the larger scale of things, I'm perfectly fine, but I shouldn't be lying here in the middle of this intersection. Now, luckily, the fire and rescue department's only like two blocks from that intersection, so they barely turned on their siren before they got there. And I can remember lying on that stretcher in the van going to the hospital and tucking my thumbs under my belt to take the weight off my arms because it hurt. And when I got to the hospital, I found out I hadn't broken one, but I had broken both collarbones. Now, when you break a collarbone, it's very difficult to lift your upper arms because all these muscles go up and attach up here. And to lift them causes the bone joints that aren't there or the bones that aren't there anymore to move and grate and all. And it's very rather painful. And in that experience, I found myself believing something that goes like, my broken collarbones are painful and physically limiting. And that, you know, was an obvious physical statement, but that allowed that fear to come up in me, that deep-seated fear that said, I might not heal well. I might be broken forever. Because I had an image from my childhood of a grandfather who had broken his collarbones as a young man and they hadn't set right. And so he went through life stooped over. And so I had an image that I might not heal well and that fear rose up in me. So I had to turn and do this process that Unity invites us to do. I had to deny, to affirm, to nurture and to allow. So I had to deny that physical condition that I was in had any control over me. And I used a favorite truth statement out of my spiritual work, A Course in Miracles. I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as God created me. That to me is a very powerful spiritual statement. And my truth statement in the process could be something like, the experience of my broken collarbones has no power over my divine nature. That's my denial. the experience that I'm doing right now has no power over what I truly am. And then I would affirm, I am whole and a holy child of God. I experience full range of motion. I have full strength in my body. Full range of motion. Full strength in my body. And then the nurturing process is simply holding to that truth. To hold the vision that I would have ease of motion, that I would see myself picking up my grandson again, that, you know, it would all be well. And then the allowing was to say yes to the baby steps as they happened. I remember early in that process, I had been home. They don't do anything except put a little strap around your back and your shoulders kind of hold you in place while the healing goes on. And I like my morning coffee. But my coffee cup was up here, and I couldn't raise my arm that high without a lot of pain. But I found that if I did this, I could reach the cabinet, and then I could use my fingers, and I could crawl my hand up the cabinet till I got to the shelf where the coffee cup was, and coming down is fine, not a problem. So that was a little baby step of taking back that full range of motion, that ability to be whole, that I affirmed, yes. And it happened over and over again through that process. Recovering function became a game, and every little step became another yes, another allowing. And Spirit worked its work. Each of us creates our lives through those deep-seated beliefs that we hold in mind and heart. And if we want a different experience in our life, we have to come from a different experience, a different belief. You know, at the end of the Oz story, Dorothy and her friends have gone through challenge after challenge after challenge that have tested their fears and their beliefs. And throughout the story, Dorothy, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, the Lion, all have to examine their fears, examine their beliefs, and in that process, they become transformed. The Scarecrow becomes wisdom. The Tin Man becomes empathy. The Cowardly Lion becomes courage. All in service to the soul Dorothy, so that she can have that which she truly desires, to go home. We create our lives from our beliefs. If we are willing to replace those unexamined beliefs with spiritual truth, we can have a different experience. Namaste. Sabrina is going to come up and lead us into a time of meditation.